징글 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 징글
오구영입니다. 오다요.
징글. Happy holidays like that.
Sure.
Hello and welcome to Worst Collection Ever here on the Sideshow Network, the show where we tell you about our crappy comic book collection. I'm Jen.
I'm Sean.
And this is our holiday-themed episode.
Did we do a holiday theme last year?
I don't think so.
But no, I think there was. Wasn't there like...
There was, but I feel like we did it just as, like, at a random time.
Well, there was the Guy Gardner one. There was a Guy Gardner one that we did was a holiday theme, but I can't remember. I have to go back and look.
I don't know if we did.
I mean, I could go back and look.
This is our holiday episode.
This is officially holiday themed.
Because it'll come out on Tuesday.
Yes.
And Christmas is Friday.
Yes.
So this is our holiday episode.
Yep.
All right.
So we actually, I actually bought a digital comic.
Christmas themed
digital comic for you, the listeners.
Right?
Yes. I did that.
I know.
Because I was like... Because
you care.
Because I care. Because Marvel doesn't have shit.
They really don't have a lot of Christmas stuff.
DC's got like a million...
Yeah, and DC will just like release them at like any time of the year. They're like, July? Here's a Christmas book.
Well, so the first one we're going to read is our DC book. It's Captain Atom, yep. Series 2? Volume 2. It's the, you know, the Nathaniel Adams one.
Mm-hmm.
It's the one that, you know, when he came back. It's the 80s one. So, you know, it's not because there was Captain Atom from Charlton, so we're not doing that. So, anyway, so Captain Atom, number 13, from March 1988, which is a Christmas-themed episode.
Yes.
A Christmas-themed book.
It's like they're always late, so you always get these Christmas
books. Or maybe
this books.
Was maybe this was released, I don't know, because I always feel like like wrestling magazines, they're always dated, but like they're dated a certain way.
No, I think comics, that's the month it came out in. And then this was probably supposed to be the Christmas one, and someone was late, or the art was late, or blah, 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 so it got released in March. Just that's the way it happened.
Yeah.
So,
but then
DC's really shitty about keeping their deadlines, apparently.
DC has problems.
They really do.
Anyways, so
they go back years.
Yeah. So anyways, on the cover, Captain Atom.
In a Santa hat.
In a Santa hat,
mm-hmm.
being held by men.
Drinking a beer.
Drinking a beer. Holding a beer. He's having a beer. Everybody's like, hooray!
Captain Atom, you're great.
Hooray for Christmas.
Yay, Christmas.
It's not as cheerful as you think.
Nope, this book not cheerful at all.
So, Captain Atom was starting off with, he is, throwing his military ID in the water,
but like in a creek, in like a little like shallow one, so it's still like sticking out.
Yeah, so people are still gonna find it.
Yeah, that's not good. It's not like throwing it in the ocean. That's not really committing to throwing something.
I think he wants to get it back.
Yeah,
but, you know, he which somehow
like if you commit, you throw that shit in the ocean or very deep,
or you do something with it so nobody
you
can
burn
find
it. Yeah, you don't just go like, I'm gonna throw it in 3 centimeters of water.
I'm gonna throw it in this.
Walk away.
I'm gonna throw it in this drinking fountain.
I'm gonna throw it in this puddle in the street, in a pothole.
Yeah.
But that's what he does.
So, and I guess like, so his name is Cameron Scott.
Yeah, I don't really understand what's going on here.
Because he has a civilian identity as Cameron Scott.
Sure.
But he's still Captain Atom. Like, he still could turn into Captain Atom.
Uh-huh.
Apparently, and this is something I'm just noticing here.
He's white hair?
He's white hair, but he's 29 years old.
I know, that's what I'm trying to figure out. Both dudes in this book, and maybe it's because of what happened to them, have white hair.
Well, they have white hair, but they're like,
but they're like super young.
Super young, and apparently it's like, everybody's
are
like...
they both, maybe they're albinos?
Yeah, that was...
Well, I mean, seriously, like...
I mean, maybe, I don't know.
Or maybe they just went... Really, really gray, really, really young?
Yeah. Oh, could you have me my drink?
Oh, I was like, what are you doing?
I was asking.
You're gesticulating wildly.
Guys, this is good podcasting.
I was like, what's going on? I thought you were trying to, like, I thought there was a bug on me. I was like, what the hell?
There's a bug as in the shape of a drink.
I don't understand what you're doing.
Yep.
Okay.
So he, okay, so Captain Atom, he's kind of thinking, he's just sitting there and he's thinking about living his life.
Thinking about his life.
Thinking about his life, and basically this is right around the time in the series when
he quit his job.
He quit his job, you know, as Captain Atom, because basically he's talking about Major Force.
Yeah.
Because Major Force, you know, for who we know, he's basically like he was also subjected to the same like quantum field experiments as Captain Atom was, and he survived. But Major Force, the guy that's, you know, Major Force is just complete fucking wacko.
Right.
And, you know, basically he kind of, you know, the government tried to pass him off as being cool, but we all know that he's not, and he's a piece of shit. And
yes.
Basically there's big points of contention.
Yeah, and Captain Atom is just like, I'm tired of being the government stooge, walking off this job, or whatever.
Yeah.
So that's what he's having to think as he's standing on like a nice little bridge above his 3 centimeters of water, and it's snowing.
Yeah, so he's pissed off, and like General Eiling, who we get to meet later, you know, we can see later, is you know, basically the guy behind it, and you know, it's just a big sordid affair.
Yeah.
There's
a lot of drama going on.
And the thing too is with the Major Force stuff, it's like I have like the annual that they're talking about in here.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it's just basically like Major Force just turns into like a piece of shit vigilante. And he goes on to he's the one that killed Kyle Rayner's girlfriend and put her in the fridge.
Nice.
Yeah. That's his claim to fame.
Good job.
And you know, he's been featured in a bunch of other stuff that's just like he's just the biggest piece of horse shit.
Yeah.
But anyways, so what are we doing here? So Captain Atom is like, well,
it's over.
It's over.
I'm burning off my uniform.
Yeah, he puts on his uniform just to burn it off.
Yeah, he's like, good thing the snow makes it zero visibility. No one will be able to see me burn my uniform off.
Why? Because you're. But we mean nobody. Who's looking in this direction? You're like in like a random bridge in Colorado or something.
Something like in the middle of nowhere. But like, I like that he throws his ID in like 3 centimeters of water and then he burns his uniform.
Why did you just put it? Like, his
why
ID?
Didn't you just keep it in your pocket?
You could have burned it. Because you have quantum fire coming out of your body.
It would have been fine. You could have just burned it all. I mean, shit, you burned all the buttons off that shit. No problems.
Yeah, but so whatever.
So he flies off.
He flies off, and then we kind of...
We go to Major Force, I think.
No, this is Captain Eiling.
Okay.
Because this is who we spend all this time with.
I was trying to figure that out. Like, who the fuck is this guy?
Okay. This is Eiling.
All right.
And he's burning a newspaper, which I like the newspaper. It's like, you know, it's one of those like headlines that just is convenient enough...
Yes.
For, you know, for the guy,
yeah.
for the story.
Yeah.
And, it's like, Cap Atom tells Mage Force to pack it in.
Yeah.
Because they couldn't fit the whole thing in there, so they're like, because, you know, real newspapers have to do is they abbreviate, like...
Yeah, you just have to rewrite that headline. like, no one, they'd be like, no.
he's like, you know, because I think he lives in D.C., you know, and so it's like D.C. newspapers just like, meh.
Yeah, no.
You know, Prez Obama runs country into grow, or whatever they're going
to
say.
You would have to rewrite that headline. Prez
Clinton caught with sex?
Question mark?
Question mark, sex?
But, yeah, no, you'd have to rewrite it. Because, I mean, yeah, there is a certain limited amount of space, but you don't get away with shit like that on the front page of any newspaper.
Yeah, so now we have Captain Eiling doing a think.
He's also having a flashback think, much like Atom just did. And he's thinking about Major Force, and about how Major Force is basically just like a crazy person.
How he really wanted Major Force and Captain Atom to be like best buds. As there's like, it's funny because there's this drawing where they're kind of like
where they're like buddies.
I'll have to take a picture of this. It's kind of, I just noticed this is like just very like.
It's very homoerotic.
Well, it's just weird. It's just like
because I mean, like Major Force is like 8 people wide, and then
he's like the Rock.
Yeah, and then Captain Atom is standing in front of him, but like sideways and like looking over his shoulder. It's very weird. It's like a picture that you would like. It's an engagement photo. For like somebody who's really bad at posing engagement photos.
That's a good point. It also could be the album cover to like a soft rock album
from
the 80s.
Yeah.
Like, you know, like Atom and Force. And it's just like, you know, they have a hot hit.
It's just nothing but Peter Cetera covers.
actually, you know, because actually Peter Cetera considered this.
He did.
You know, he was like, because he was going to, there was going to be Captain Atom.
It was a Hall and Oates cover at one point.
Captain, I'm just imagining Major Force with a giant mustache.
Yeah.
I'm also imagining Peter Cetera being like, you know, like Peter Cetera playing Captain Atom in a movie.
Sure.
So I think he could have pulled it off. Kind of looks like him.
Sure, why not?
You know, you imagine if that was a movie in the 80s. It's like Captain Atom starring Peter Cetera.
You know, crazy shit happened in the 80s, so I would believe that would happen.
Yeah, Richard Marx.
Dice had a fucking movie. Like,
yeah, we talked about that, yeah. Richard Marx would be in it. Man, this would be good. You know, I'm kind of thinking.
Is Don Henley in it?
Don Henley's in it. who else? Kenny Loggins?
Kenny Loggins. Maybe some Rod Stewart in there.
Oh, Rod Stewart. Oh, this is going to be like the Three Musketeers, but it's Captain Adam. All for Love, Sting, and fucking Bryan Adams.
Oh, you know what? This should surprise absolutely nobody, but I have a love of really bad music. And that song is probably up there on one of the worst of the best, or best of the worst.
Yeah.
I love that song.
It's not good.
No.
It's one of those ones where it's like, I think the video's weird too.
Oh, it is. It's like all four of them on stage, and then there's also...
Oh, four of them. I mean, three. It's Sting, Bryan Adams, and Rod Stewart.
Isn't there a fourth guy?
I don't know.
All right, well, at least all those three guys are on stage.
We'll have to watch that after we're over here. Because I think it's like they give Sting shit for showing up late or something.
I don't remember.
There's like dialogue in it. It's like
at the beginning? I don't remember that part.
It's one of those talking videos.
Oh, see, I don't remember the talking part. I just remember all of them on stage, and then there's like clips of whatever movie it is. Like,
it's the Three Musketeers.
Yeah.
Or no, wait, was it? No.
No, it's not the Three Musketeers. It's something else.
No, it was Three Musketeers because it wasn't, Bryan Adams did some stupid song for Robin Hood.
Yes, yeah.
But then
is a great song.
But then Bryan Adams was like, "I need, like, we're doing Three Musketeers, and I need to get like my bros,
yeah,
get my singing bros." I know what I'm talking about.
I know you do. I'm just trying to like, yeah. I'm just looking.
This is what you guys come to for this podcast. You're probably right. Like. I really hope there's a review in the comments where it's just like,
stop talking about bullshit.
It's like, you know, I came to this podcast to hear about comic reviews and how bad they are, and they talked about Rod Stewart for 20 minutes and how he should be playing Captain Atom. And I was like, I don't understand. I don't even know who that is. I'm 12.
Why are these two fucking old people insist on talking about comics? Yep, there it is.
That was right. Adam
I know. I'm just looking.
Okay, well, we're not going to watch it later.
Oh boy, I can't wait.
I can't wait. This is something to look forward to, babe.
Yay!
So keep our Sunday afternoons lively.
This is what we do with our time.
Sean, what did you do this week? We gotta watch the 15-year-old video with my wife with Rod Stewart in it. Take some cold brew coffee.
After attending a wrestling match the night before.
Oh yeah, that was a good time.
Yeah.
Yeah, we went to the Forum.
We did.
Black Sabbath is playing there. That's a good time. I'm not going to that, though.
Okay.
Guys, you want to know my calendar for the next year? So, guys, you know what I'm doing on next weekend? I'm going to a doctor's appointment, and then I have to go to Target. Okay.
Major Force.
Major Force.
Their engagement photo.
Their engagement photo and bullshit, whatever.
And so he's like, this general guy.
Wade Eiling.
He's like in a cabin for Christmas with his dad.
His dad, who, I will say... When I first read this, and the second time I read this, just now,
yeah.
I couldn't tell who the fuck was who.
Neither could I, because they look the same. Because
he's like, Dad, and I'm like, but you're both old.
Dude, you're both like, every man in this fucking comic, except one, has white hair.
But they're also not only that, they're old as shit.
Yes, but I thought Adam was really old. No, he's only 29 years old, even though he's got white hair. So it's a...
I mean, granted, he was frozen in time.
Well, I know, yeah.
But still.
We get... to that. But, like, so, everyone, like, General Wade's, like, old as fuck, and his dad is still alive.
That's how it is. Sometimes you have old dads.
Well, yeah, I know. I mean, whatever. Like, my grandmother was 93, for fuck's sake. But, like, yeah, it happens.
Okay, but here's the thing. So, there's, so Captain Adam's, like,
Wade is up at, like, a cabin with his dad or whatever. And he's got these two kids. Because he's their stepfather, right? Yeah. The two kids, the Randall and Peggy.
Randall and Peggy.
Okay. And so he's got whatever, and they're up at this cabin for Christmas, and the dad is like, hey, how about you don't do as much, like, work stuff, because it's supposed to be a holiday.
Uh-huh.
And he's like, I will do whatever I want to do. Basically. I'm a general.
I'm a general. That's what he says. I'm a general.
He's basically, what he is the gym coach from Beavis and Butthead.
Yeah, he looks like the, yeah, but he has white hair.
Except he has white hair. That guy gets old.
He's General Buzzcut.
Yeah.
Or got the Mr. Buzzcut.
That's kick the guy, that's me the in guy's the gym. Just don't tell me what to do. And like, that's basically what's going on in this book.
So.
Captain Adam.
Captain Adam. So we're back to Captain Adam at home wearing clothes.
Who is very sad.
He's very sad because he's looking at his bills.
And he's also looking at his Charlie Brown Christmas tree, which is like, it's like this piece, it's a very small Christmas tree sitting on a table, which is fine.
Captain Adam is, granted, he's got a pretty big house.
Yeah.
Big place. And he's got...
Well, he's got all sorts of shit.
He's got chips on the floor. You see the bag of chips?
Yeah.
He's living like a hobo.
Well, he's a young bachelor.
He's a young white-haired, bachelor. Youngish bachelor, just living like a crazy man.
Yeah. Living like a 16-year-old.
Okay, again, this is the second week in a row where we talk about the decor of the superhero home.
Well, they're important.
Yeah, you know, we talked about Gene Loring's home the other day.
Yeah, we did.
This one, so he's got like a pretty high ceiling.
Yeah, oh yeah.
In this place, he's got bags of chips on the floor, beer cans.
Yeah, he's also holding a Coca-Cola can, but you all...
Oh, no, these are Coke cans. Okay,
yeah. Right, all you see is the law. Because obviously they can't draw it.
Right. And he is, and he's got like what looks to be that's a lamp? Is that a lamp? Can you see that? Sorry, it's hard to say.
Yeah, it's hard. I think it's, it's a lamp.
It's a lamp. Could be a fondue pot. Not sure.
A hanging fondue pot.
Hanging fondue pot. And then he's got like a giant bookshelf.
Oh, yeah.
But like the books are really high.
Yeah.
You see that?
Yeah, you'd need a ladder to get to those books. That's how fucking high they are.
I mean, granted, he could fly because he's Captain Adam.
Sure, but...
But why would you...
Who did they build this for?
I don't know. Why
superheroes?
It's a very... And he's... So he's
does
like...
Does he live in superhero arms? Is that the apartment complex that he lives in? Where it's just like...
Could you imagine so
they're all high because they assume everyone can fly?
So like, you know, what's his face? Like, Booster Gold walks, he's moving in and he's like... He's like, well, Mr. Gold, we have high bookshelves and fondue pot, and then we have, like, in the kitchen, we have random cans underneath.
Oh, this is great. Thanks.
This is great. I think I'm going to like it here.
I like how most apartments where dude superheroes live, they have cans all over the place. Because remember when we went to Guy Gardner's apartment?
Well, Guy Gardner's just a monster. Yeah, I forget. Actually, Guy Gardner's just a freaking monster. It makes total sense that he lives in squalor. I'm not completely shocked by him.
You live in squalor. This isn't a surprise.
Just like he's got, I mean, look at him. He's got a bowl cut for crying out loud. True. He went through the 80s with a bowl cut for the most part. You know, he's probably just like, whatever. You know, if I pop a squat on the ground, it happens.
It does.
You know, and it does. And here's my dude magazine. I'm going to look at it. And, you know, I can't reach the toilet, so I'll just do it right here. You know, and, you know, here's a bag of chips, and my life is set.
Yeah. But Captain Adam a little bit cleaner.
Captain Adam a little bit cleaner, can't pay his bills, throws his checkbook away, and he's like...
He's just sad. He's like, I need another job, and now I'm sad, and...
He's like, I should count my blessings, but I don't got anybody to count them with. And he's talking about Peggy and Randy.
That's... I don't understand how...
I think those are his kids?
But how is that possible? Has he been frozen in time?
I don't know. I should have did my research ahead of time, but I think they're somehow related to him because the kids...
That's what I was trying to figure
out. ...are stepkids to...
Yes.
...Eiling.
Yes. But if he... Because he mentions later that he has been frozen in time since the 60s.
Right.
So how are those kids his kids? It is the 80s.
Maybe they were his kids...
Unless he got unfrozen 13 years ago, met a lady, fucked a lady, had a bunch of kids, and now he's like, now I'm sad because I'm alone in this century, this
decade.
They
were young kids, and now they're... Because the kids are older, you know.
But if he got frozen in the late 60s...
Well...
I mean, maybe... if they're a teenager, maybe?
Do I need to look this up so we can continue?
If you want to, yeah.
Not really.
I mean, we don't have to. We can just speculate.
Guys...
If you know, tell us.
Guys, how are we supposed to give you the right kind of...
if you know, which you probably do, just let us know.
If you know.
If not, Wikipedia.
If you care.
If you care. That's the problem. We don't care.
Anyways.
So then we cut to some dude in a payphone.
Yeah, wait, he's got a name.
Oh, well. It's like Charles or Clark's or...
Clark Kent. No. Let me just find his name real quick. So, it's like, Chester.
Chester.
Chester King. Chester King.
Yeah, and he's on the phone with his girlfriend who is waiting for him at home in nothing but lingerie, because that's what women do in comics. They just wait around for dudes wearing nothing but negligee.
She says, love you, but she even she spells it wrong.
Yeah, L-U-V. L-U-V. It's like she's texting. Like verbal texting.
She can't even speak correctly.
Is verbal texting just speaking?
Yes.
I'm verbally texting you. Yeah. So
she's like, come home, honey. And he's like,
I can't.
I got a job.
And she's like, oh my God, I don't want you to be late on Christmas Eve. And he's like, I promise, don't worry about it, it's going to be worth it. So then, like,
I'm so sexy at home. Okay, yeah, and I'm warm.
I'm just going to be, like, waiting for you in nothing but lingerie. It's fucking cold, bitch, it's snowing. Put on a robe.
Bitch, it's snowing, put on a robe. The Jen Stansfield Christmas album.
Pretty much.
Could it just be a picture of you sitting at the table very angrily, just drinking out of a Christmas mug?
Yes.
Just, bitch, it's cold. Put on a mug.
Put on a mug. Bitch, it's cold. That's just my album. Just, bitch, it's cold. It's just me, like, wrapped up in blankets, angrily drinking out of a Christmas mug.
You can open up for,
Everybody.
You can open up for Ron Stewart as Captain Haddam at his Christmas concert.
Who else is opening for Ron Stewart these days? Nobody. Obviously, it needs to be me.
Obviously, he needs a top-notch act. You need a top-notch act. You need Jen Stansfield and her comedy stylings from Bitch, It's Cold.
So he hangs up with the cold girl, and he calls... I don't know.
So he calls his boss.
Generic, angry CEO.
He calls Chester
McEvil.
He calls Business McEvil.
Yeah, Business McEvil.
And he's telling, basically, this guy's basically like, hey, I'll just do the cliff notes. Hey, burn down my shitty building and I can make lots of money. And I know you're like a guy that knows how to burn down shitty buildings and blame them on other people. So,
do it for me.
Do it.
And I'll give you a lot of money so you can take your sexy girlfriend, wife, or whatever she is, to the Bahamas for Christmas. He's like, yeah, good idea.
Right. So now we go back, and now we're back at the cabin with Eiling and Old Man Eiling.
Old Man Eiling and Older Man Eiling.
Older Man Eiling, and they're with their kids, who are playing outside in the snow.
Well, they are teenagers, so maybe they are Captain Adam's
kids. I guess they're teenagers. They seem like they're, like, 20. Oh, it's hard to tell because everybody looks like kind of the same age, but they're not.
Yeah, the only thing that changes is the hair color.
Yeah, they're like Ken dolls, but with like different color hair.
It's like they're like Lego figurines, and they just like pop on new hairstyles because they pretty much look the same. So, you know, they're outside in the snow, and then old man.
So Eiling.
Oh yeah,
regular Eiling.
Regular Eiling's on the phone, and like. Is this the old man?
So regular Eiling's on the phone, old man, who kind of looks like Captain Adam here.
He does. That's the thing. I thought he was the son, because he also looks like the son at the end of the book.
Well, right.
So, not Captain Adam, just like son. And so he's like, son, like there's kids are playing outside, and he's like, I'm busy. I need privacy. I'm talking about classified shit. And his dad's like, ah.
Yeah,
and he's like, get the fuck out of the room. So his dad like stomps off.
So then Captain Adam now, looking just like the same guys in the three. They literally look the same.
Exactly. Like, they're even wearing the same color clothes.
So, here's the thing, though. So, he's talking about Peggy and Randy, who are the kids.
Yeah.
And he's like, they're somewhere in Colorado Rockies. Oh, hey, that's where you're from.
Yeah.
So they're with Eiling and his old man. Who could tell them apart?
Nobody.
But
he's like, yeah, I have nobody. I'm just having a sad walk through the city at Christmas time, thinking about how I don't really fit in this decade, and like, or is that just how everybody feels in the 80s, that they just don't fit into this decade? I'm like, I'm trying to be all like, you know, existential or whatever, but it's kind of like, dude, you don't choose the times in which you're born.
Yeah,
it is what it is. Like,
this is how you live your life.
Sorry, like, I don't know. I never felt displaced in the 80s, but I was also a child. So I don't know, maybe everybody felt that way except kids.
Yeah, I don't know.
Chester breaks into that building.
Chester breaks into the building, basically sets like a firebomb.
Yep.
And, you know, there's a lot.
But he also, before he does that, he gives a bum money.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, I forgot.
It's very important. He gives Bubba
Bubba the Bum.
Bubba the Bum, money.
And he even gives him a tip. He's like, hey, man, you know, you give a... give me a dollar, you know. He's because the guy's like, you know, hey, you got a quarter? And he's like, you know, ask for more money, get a dollar. And he's like, here's a dollar. And he's like, oh, thank you, sir.
Yeah.
You know.
So anyway, before he did that, he met Bubba, and now he sets this bomb. So then he leaves, and Bubba is like squatting in a building with his buddies or something.
Yeah.
Yeah. And they're like having bum Christmas.
Yeah, they're having a bum Christmas, and
so then instead of going home, which he was supposed to do. This Chester guy, he was like, I'm on my way home. He decides to stop at a bar and, like, spend all the money he was going to spend on his chick's plane fare. Like, buying drinks for everybody at the bar that he doesn't, like, and he doesn't know anybody there.
Yeah.
And, of course, Captain Adam just happens to be there having a sad beer.
He's drinking a beer.
I'm assuming he's drinking, like, Coors or something. If you're having a sad beer.
He's having a sad Stroh's.
Yeah.
Because he's like so there, and he's like he's just like having a really like one of those like things. So it's like, man, you know, I haven't been to a bar since the '60s, but now I'm here.
And everything's and so different.
Am I an alien? Really? Nobody knows me. I'm a hero, but I'm sad.
Yeah, he's like everything's so different now in this decade. And you're like, the fashions might have changed, but like going to a bar is pretty much the fucking same no matter when it was. You know, there might be women there depending on when, but other than that, it's kind of the same.
So now we go back to the Eilings, and Old Man Eiling,
of course,
is telling the story about him being in a war.
The war.
The big war.
Flying a goddamn biplane.
Because that's all they did back then.
I guess.
That's a warplane.
Yeah.
And basically, he's talking about...
It's like
about,
a Snoopy cartoon.
Oh, no, this exactly is like a Snoopy.
It's
exactly
even got like the red...
the Red Baron.
Except it's not a biplane. That one's a triplane. It has three wings.
Right.
Yeah.
Anyways, so this is this is kind of like the
moral.
The moral part is kind of basically if you've ever heard the Snoopy Christmas one where it's like, Jane, you know, Christmas bells, oh Christmas bells, you know that song.
Yeah, yeah.
Which is I love that song. I love that about Snoopy and how the Baron doesn't kill him.
Right.
You know.
Yeah, because his plane is damaged or whatever. He's leaking fuel. Well, in here, he's leaking fuel.
Well, okay, so basically...
It's the same thing.
It's the same story where, you know, Old Man Eiling is talking about... And he's telling the kids, who, again, I can't tell how...
Well, no idea how...
Because here's the thing, it's the 80s, so...
They could be teenagers, maybe, if they were born in the very late 60s.
But they're like... I don't know, it's just weird, because they look... I don't know, they look young enough.
I don't know. Maybe they're early 20s. I don't know, whatever, they're kids.
Everybody's drawn very weird in this book.
It's hard to tell who's what. So anyway, like, he's, like, talking about how he's flying, and he sees this guy, and his plane, like, was leaking fuel, and then he gets into this, like, you know, firefight kind of, where they're, chasing each other around the sky.
Let me say, it's not just any guy, it's Hans von Hammer.
Well, it's, like, the Red Baron.
Well, he's in DC Comics, he's known as the Enemy Ace. He's an actual character.
Okay, I just thought it was the Red Baron.
Well, no, this is Enemy Ace, who's, like, known as, like... the best German fighter pilot, like, ever.
Okay.
But he kind of, like, had a, you know, like, because he had his own series and he had his own stories and stuff back in the 60s and 70s.
Fuck. You know that there's, like, the old DC, like, fighting fighter pilot.
Oh, yeah, no, team. he was all...
What are they called? I can't remember.
Sergeant Rock?
No.
The Losers?
No, they're birds. They're, there's that woman who was in it.
Oh, Blackhawks? No.
Yes.
No, he did. He probably did. He probably was a part of all that stuff.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, he's got you know, trade paperbacks and shit.
Okay.
You know, so he's been around. He's the actual character. And, like, basically what happened was the Enemy Ace spared Old Man Eiling
mercy. Because he had a code.
Because he had a code of not shooting on a plane that was damaged.
Right, that was disabled.
Disabled.
Because it wouldn't be fair, it would just be murder. So he, like, you know, saluted him and, like, started to fly away. And the guy's like, and you know what I did after he saluted me? Well, I just pulled out, like, a regular old revolver and shot at him. Like, don't you have guns on your plane? Like, why did you use, like, a, like, well, literally,
maybe,
like, a handgun?
Maybe it was damaged. I don't know.
He just shot it up with a handgun.
So what I did, you know, when he passed by me, I threw a shot, a slingshot at him.
Threw a rock on him. It was a big rock.
Threw my lighter at him.
You ever see, I don't know if you've ever seen that one.
What?
There's Batman the Animated Series called Almost Got Him, which is like a bunch of villains sitting around a table playing poker, sharing stories about how they almost got Batman. And Killer Croc's is that he threw a rock at on or threw rock at him, and everybody looks at him and is like, well, it was a big rock. Have you ever seen that one?
I haven't seen a lot of Batman the Animated Series.
I'm not going to spoil the ending of that one, though.
Oh, no. I see the ones that you watch, but I don't watch a lot of them.
They're the best.
I know they're the best. I know they're great. I just never, it was never, Batman's not my bag as much.
But it's such a good show.
I know it's a good show.
And they make that car now.
Yes.
That car's fucking cool.
Yeah, that car is pretty cool. Mm. It lights up and everything. Was it your, I want that car?
I really do, but I don't know what the fuck I would do with it. Like, where am I going to put it?
I don't know. Anyway, so basically, Enemy A spares him mercy, and then the father, you know, Old Man Eiling's like, look, you know, it's bullshit that I was spared from by the code of an enemy, but.
But you know what? What I did was wrong. And like, there's like, when at the end of the day, there's no scorecard. Like, the only thing that really matters is family, blah, 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 blah. And like, Eiling just gets fucking furious at his dad for daring to think that maybe he did the wrong thing during battle.
Yeah.
And telling the kids about it. And he was just like, that's when he really looks like,
the buzz cut?
Buzz cut. It's like, ah! Oh,
because he's like, he goes off the old man, and he's like, spitting out his stogie, and he's
like, putting it out on a cup of coffee, like, stamping off, because he's so mad he's going to go stand outside in the cold.
Yeah.
He's just so mad that somebody would ever question, like, what they did in battle or whatever, and tell the kids about it. And so then we're back at the bar.
Back at the bar, Captain Adams like, meh. And basically, the building across the street starts on fire because Chester King started on fire, and everybody, and some guy's like, oh shit. But, you know, some guy runs in and it's like, hey, the building's on fire, and there's like squatters in there.
Yeah.
And that's
when Chester was like, wait, what? Like, I didn't realize there was anybody in there.
Here's what I like, those people, because basically Captain Adams sitting there like, I should do something. It's time to help. And people are like, what do we do?
They like throw snowballs at the flames? What can we do? We're just regular people. I don't know, call the fire department?
Throw the flames. And just as that's happening, out comes a flaming hobo.
Yes.
Because this book has hobos on fire.
It sure does.
Like, literally on fire.
Yeah, no, like, it's literally. And so, like, Chester takes off his coat and, like, smothers the guy, but oh, guess what? It's his friend Bubba.
He says he's like, he's my friend. Yeah, I'm like, wasn't he? We just gave him some money.
Like, literally met him like 2 minutes ago. And, I mean, it's, you don't want anybody to die, especially a horrible burn death, because that is just not the way to go. But like, now he's feeling bad. He's like having moral issues about like what he just did, because he didn't mean to hurt anybody.
He didn't mean to hurt anybody. He just meant to burn down a building.
Yeah, that's all. But an empty building.
Empty building. You know. So it's because it's cool to build and burn down stuff. But nobody's in it.
Yeah. Fine. Whatever. So he's all sad and he's like, oh my God, what have I done? And then, of course, who shows up but Captain Adams?
Captain Adams, because there's like, everybody's like, oh my God, there's more hobos in there. Let's go. Somebody save them. And thankfully, Captain Adams, like,
here I am.
It's funny because people are like, yee, hooray! Thank Lord for superheroes!
Yeah.
Like, you're like, do you really need to say that out loud?
No one needs to say that out loud.
Hooray for people with powers!
Have you ever said, like, hooray seriously?
No.
I don't think I have either.
Yeah, no, I'm
like,
not.
Hooray! Like, maybe, like, joking, maybe? Yeah, I think. Anyway, so Captain Adam's like, oh my God, it feels like the first time I've ever done this. This is, like, great, because I'm finally free. I'm not underneath the government's heel. And then so he like,
you know, the government keep me down from saving lives. Now I'm doing it.
Yeah. Don't tread on me, bros, or whatever. Like, sure.
So as that's happening.
Like, so he saves the hobos. But as that's happening.
So Eiling, young man Eiling, is in the study burning his hand like fucking.
In the fire.
In an open flame.
Shoved it into the fire.
Like fucking Gary Busey in Lethal Weapon. Just shoving his hand in the fire. It's like, I'm a man. I'm tough. I was raised tough, you know, all that stuff. And, you know, his dad comes
in. Megan Fox in that one movie burning my tongue with a lighter.
What?
Yeah, and, like, Jennifer's body.
But she was dead.
Yeah, but, yeah.
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 So I'll talk about, yeah, like, you know, yeah.
But she's not actually dead.
Right.
Okay.
But, so yeah, so he's burning his hand, and,
Old Man Eiling is like, here, let me fix it for you.
Old Man Eiling, and he's like, look, you know, I wouldn't want you to make the same mistake, and he's like, you know what, don't talk soft in front of my kids.
Yeah, don't tell my kids that they should have feelings.
Especially Randy, because he's a man.
Yeah.
And his father's like, okay.
Make sure toxic masculinity runs through our entire family so it damages all of us irreparably. He's like, okay.
And now he's telling us, like, put a smile back in your face. It's Christmas, pals. Oh, Christmas.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm no pussy. Fuck you. Chest bump. Jumps into a tree.
Just a tree.
Yeah.
Anyways.
Maybe he goes to fight the inflatable snowman.
Maybe he does. Well, that's right. Because last night at the wrestling... Jen was very intense. Yeah, she's been talking lately about fighting an inflatable snowman.
I just really have an overwhelming urge to punch one of those inflatable, like, lotto things. I just really want to fight one, and I know I would lose. That's probably the worst part. But, like, at wrestling, they had, like, a tree and an inflatable snowman, and I was like, oh my god, please somebody fucking get thrown into that snowman, and nobody did, and I was sad.
So
anyway,
so the hobo, you know, they put out the fermenter there, put out the fire, and they're like, "Ah, we got everybody out but one." And then somehow,
Give him his coat back.
They give him his coat back that has dead hobo burn skin on it. I mean, it totally does.
It does. It's probably melted to that hobo, and they like just pulled it off.
And they're like, "Well, we
got all like gooey and gross," and they're like, "You have it back." Like, no, thank you. You can take that with him.
You know, you guys can do something.
They give him his coat back, and it's got, like, hobo bits stuck to it. It's so gross. It's like pulling gum off the bottom of your shoe. He's like, here you go. Have this.
Do you want your corpse-laced jacket back?
Do you want someone else's DNA? Here you go.
You ever want to wear the skin of another man? Now you can, because that's how you make those. You want to make a manskin coat. You gotta get a hobo nice and crispy, and then put it on them. And just that's how they make them.
How do you think them. London Fog earned their name?
So just imagine anytime you see like a model picture of
a guy in a trench coat,
Henry Cavill modeling London Fog or whatever.
Yeah,
you know,
wearing a hobo trench coat.
And it just says underneath it's like. A hobo skin is underneath this, you know. It's
like a horror movie under there.
Anyways, this is not a good Christmas book.
No, it's really sad. So then, like, of course, this guy gets away with, you know, burning this place down, and then he walks away, and there's a, you know, Salvation Army Santa.
I just forgot, too, there's another part where somebody was like, hey, those squatters in there. It's like, oh my god, those slobs. Like, somebody calls them slobs. Because right. Everybody's just like, fucking slobs, get them out of the fire. Anyways, so he walks by to like, by like
the Salvation Army Santa, and he's like, here. And Salvation Army Santa's like, you just gave me $5,000. And he's like, yeah.
Did he give them like a check, or did he just give him like cash?
I don't know. I'm assuming just cash. Like, could you really take a check for the
building? He can still go to the Bahamas, though.
Yeah, but like, I don't think you can get a check for burning down a building. I think that has to be done in cash.
Okay, you're right. It just says on the bottom, burn down building, hooray. You know?
Just smiley face.
Smiley face on fire. You
know? Draw a little happy fire next to it. It's like a little emoji.
Fire emoji.
Smiley emoji fire.
Smiley fire, happy fire emoji. So yeah.
Do they have one of those?
I don't know, but it would be perfect for this. It was funny if, like, you know, like, that's what he, if this was now, he could have just sent him, like, his guy, yeah, he would have PayPal'd his money, and then just sent him, like, a check, or send him, like, his employer, a bunch of happy fire smile emojis.
To mean that it's done.
It's like, if I get 3 happy fire smile emojis, that means the job is covered.
Yep.
And I'm a rich man. Everybody's rich. Hooray for Christmas.
Anyways, yay, Christmas.
Anyway, so speaking of hooray, people are
Yeah, Captain Adam back to the bar dressed as Captain Adam, and everybody's like, yeah, you saved the day, Captain Adam.
Hip, hooray!
We're going to pick you up on our shoulders, which, again, is that something that actually happens?
Well, also, you know, I mean...
And so they like, put him down.
He's also, first of all, though, I don't know if you want to be touching him, because he is kind of, like, all quantum and silvery. It's like, yeah, would but you be okay?
Doesn't that suit, like, keep all
of it
in?
I mean, the suit keeps all of it in, but yeah. I don't know. I mean, I don't know, I have to have my doubts.
Yeah. So, anyway, he's like, you know, he gets put down, and of course then somebody's like, hey, super guy. And he turns around, and so there's this blonde chick, who I believe, if we read into one of the phone calls that Eiling had, where he says, yes, she's perfect for this operation, okay. I'm assuming she's been sent by Eiling.
Yeah, you're probably right.
Yeah. And she's like, hey, you know,
I think
we're the same.
Whatever. So she goes, oh, she's like, hey, we have a mutual uncle, in quotes, uptown who thought it might be a good idea if I sort of looked after you a while. And he's like, hey, it's a special night, Eve. Not going to let anybody spoil the Scooby, not even our uncle. So maybe he kind of knows.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't actually know. And he's like, you want to get out of here? And she's like, I thought you'd never ask or whatever. And like, then they walk off holding hands because like, that's how you pick someone up at a bar, I guess.
Back in the 80s. It's a different era.
It's not that different, is it, Captain Adam?
He's getting an atomic hand job.
So, can you have sex with Captain Adam?
Well, he could turn into his regular self.
Yeah, but if you don't even want to touch him, like, when he's in his suit, do you but really I'm saying want him he to could, jizz he could, everywhere?
Well, I mean, I don't...
Does he? Can he?
Yeah, he could. He's still got a regular dick.
But isn't it an atomic dick, though?
I don't know.
It's like Fukushima down there.
Fukushima? Wait, what's Fukushima?
Isn't that the place where the earthquake fucked up?
Wait, what?
In Japan? The reactor.
Oh, I thought you were talking about Hiroshima.
No. Let me make sure that is correct.
Okay, yeah, please get your Japanese disasters correct.
Oh, I'm right. Fukushima.
Okay, good.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're both...
I read news.
Anyways, that's it for Captain Adam number...
Would you read the next one?
Oh, yeah, that's it for Captain Adam number 13, Captain Adam number 13, March 1988. I would read the next one. I like Captain. I'm kind of... He's kind of teetering on one of those series that I may seek out.
Oh, boy.
Because it's one of those ones where you go to dollar bins and you just find like a shit... ton of them.
Because it's terrible.
Because you just find them and you're like, whatever, I'll read it. You know, and there's stories and he's quantum this. And I have quite a few Captain Adams.
Mm-hmm.
So I have one with Swamp Thing. I got one with Retronado in it. So I'm doing pretty good.
Yeah.
Would you read it?
Probably not.
Even if you want to find more about his quantum dick and hobo skin coats.
I'm not really that interested in his quantum dick.
Yeah. He was also kind of a Captain Adams kind of a dick in a lot of things.
Yeah.
Like, he was... anytime that he shows up in, like, the DC animated shows...
he's not as fucking insane as fucking the Atom.
No.
That man was insane.
No, Adam... And the Atom actually surprised me a lot. I was like, dude, you're a maniac. And, like, Captain Adam's just like, it's the 80s. I'm having problems here, you know?
Yeah.
It's like, my bills and my chips on the floor and my high bookshelves. What am I gonna do?
I'm so sad. Meh.
And granted, I don't care anything about fucking Eiling and his dad and shit. I'm like, can we just forget about
old
that?
And older Eiling.
Spent 45 minutes talking about a fucking Captain Adam book.
We're
doing the Lord's work. Anyways, that's it for Captain Adam. We'll be back with our next one. All right, we're back here on Words Collection over here on Sideshow Network. Hope you're still with us.
Everybody's.
I keep looking at the lengths of these episodes.
They keep getting longer and longer
because we're just so comfortable now as podcasters. Because you and I are just like we're just bullshitting and it's fun.
Yeah.
But you know, it's also like I'm like, man, we just spent 45 minutes talking about Captain Adam, which and we're talking about stuff like I feel we're being pertinent to the book.
Yeah.
You know, because that's what we do. So. So this next one, it's our second Christmas-themed episode.
Mm.
I actually got this one because here's the thing. So I was looking for Marvel books that were Christmas-themed.
Or holiday-themed in general.
Holiday-themed, yeah. And I was like, well, I don't know. I can't only – like the only thing I could think of when we were talking about this was like Ben Grimm is Jewish and he talks about Hanukkah a lot. And I was like,
great, sure.
Is there a Hanukkah book or something? I don't know. I could not think of it. So, and they have holiday specials. So we could have did those. Could have did one of those. Because DC has those too. But they're anthologies. So there's more than like one story in there. And it's just like, I don't typically care to do that. So here's one that I found a recommendation of a very significant Marvel issue. It's Uncanny X-Men number 143 from March 1980. I don't know if this is technically the worst. Well, I mean, because it's actually kind of a good story.
It's actually a pretty good one.
It's actually pretty good. But, it's...
I mean, it's fine. It's not bad.
It's not bad.
It could be worse.
It could be worse. There are some moments in here. There is some stuff that goes down in here, and you're like, what the fuck?
Yeah, you're like, what?
Yeah. So, actually, I think we can get through this one pretty good. Yeah. So, anyway, start off, it's... the cover is Merry Christmas, X-Men, and it's Shadow Cat on the cover, and she's being...
Well, it's Kitty Pryde.
Well, Kitty Pryde, Shadow Cat. That's her name.
She only went by Kitty Pryde. I don't know anything about the X-Men.
She goes by both.
Okay.
Her codename is Shadow Cat, but...
Whatever.
Kitty Pryde.
Meow.
Anyways, so she is in a room, and she's being...
Menaced
by a giant alien behind her.
Yep.
Says, guess what just came down the chimney?
Oh, no.
Oh, no. So we start off with a splash of storm.
Though I do have to say, this book came out in March, so Marvel also fucking up.
Ah, that's true. Actually, the Captain Atom came out in March as well. Yeah, so
you guys suck at this.
You guys aren't very good.
You guys are not good at planning.
Yeah.
All right.
So
logistics, not your strong suit.
So we go back. Actually, this is like a first part as a flashback of Storm. Storm apparently fighting
the Nglugs.
Where's their name?
The next page, maybe.
See, now I got to do the guided view. The
Nagari? Nagari.
Nagare. Okay. Yeah.
Yeah.
And so they're like these creepy aliens.
Alien bugs.
Alien bugs that, for some reason, Storm is the only one that has to fight them.
Yeah. But she fights them or whatever, and then not really...
This is all back from, like, 19... issue 96 happened.
This is wild. So she fights them and whatever, and they just leave, like, the wreckage of this Nagari ship just, like, on Earth, and no one ever cleans it up.
It just happens to be around by where the X-Men is. Basically, Storm uses, like, her gigantic lightning powers.
Yeah, to just destroy this thing. But, like, nobody ever goes to clean up the shit, so it just sits there for a really long time, and then Professor X is just like, it's fine. But it wasn't, because all of a sudden, out of the wreckage, years later,
comes a monster.
A monster.
A demon who looks like basically a xenomorph.
Yeah.
From Alien.
Yeah.
So, now we get a young couple.
Yeah.
Doing what young couples do. Going
to cut down a Christmas tree.
Going to cut down a tree, and he's like...
Which, do people do that still? I've never done it.
I don't know.
I mean, to me, it's always been like, go to a Christmas tree lot, or just buy a fake tree.
Going to cut down a tiny tree, apparently, you want to give it to Captain Atom.
Yeah, they are, because it's about the same size as his. But, like, I didn't realize, like, I mean, maybe that's a thing if you live closer to trees.
Yeah. So apparently they just drive out to, Westchester, wherever they're at.
Yeah, and they're just like, hey, we're going to just walk into the forest and cut down a tree, and it's going to be our tree.
Because the woman's like, hey, why don't we, like, go and get, like, a tree?
Yeah.
You know?
And he's like, no, we have plenty of time to get one from a Christmas tree lot. You know, this is our first Christmas together. It's going to be special. I'm going to cut down this tree for you, and I'm going to think naughty thoughts about you, and we're going to have the sex underneath our tiny tree.
Well, here's the thing, the way that because he's like, I think very naughty thoughts, because like, she's like, oh, you're sweet, and he's like, I think very naughty thoughts, and she's like,
oh, yeah, like what?
And for a second, I thought that he was going, because they hear a noise, and I thought he was going to, like, find a space for them to fuck.
In the snow?
And then, but after I read closer, I was like, oh, that's
okay. That would be horrible.
But
he's like, oh, no, I'll go. She's like, what is it? He's like, oh, it's just a noise, no big deal. And, like, he goes to find it, and it's the alien, which kills him immediately, and then kills his wife, girlfriend, friend.
Eats his body, eats his soul.
And they just, like, sucks the life out of both of them.
That's what you get for going in the woods.
Yep, see, this is why we stay where civilization is.
Yeah, stay inside, especially when it's fucking snow out. You know, Jesus Christ.
So, but at the mansion, Professor X is talking to Kitty Pryde about, like, her lessons on how to start the jet or something.
Yeah, because the Blackbird, she's like, hey, you should, like, learn how to do this and stuff because you need to be well-rounded. Right. And she's like, I'm 13. Sigh.
Yeah, it's ridiculous that she's 13, by the way.
Oh, yeah.
Because there's a part later that really upsets me that she's 13. So, Angel shows up and he's like, hey, Professor, time to go or whatever.
Yeah.
And she's like, great.
Oh, sorry.
It's okay.
So you guys don't get to hear the pages rustling.
No, not this time.
But this time.
She's like, oh, I'm so glad you're here. And he's like, oh, okay, well, it's time to go. And so everybody's standing by the door. Wolverine's there with his girlfriend.
Yeah, he's there with his girlfriend. He's introducing her to everybody. This is Mariko.
Yeah, and like...
Is his girlfriend who's going to die soon.
Yeah.
Because
his
girlfriends die.
Soon. And then...
Nightcrawler.
Nightcrawler shows up with, like, I'm assuming... It looks like a piece of holly, but I'm assuming that's mistletoe.
Yeah.
And he, like, gives her... He's like, hey, it's been so long. He, like, gives her a kiss on the cheek. And, like, Wolverine just, like, tries to literally take his head off with his claws.
Yeah, like, Wolverine
he's
just
like,
loses.
How dare you? Fuck you! Don't tell! That's my chick! Blah, blah. And I'm like, whoa, that is a red flag.
He's like, back off, elf! And I'm like, dude!
No wonder she's gonna die. Does Wolverine kill her?
I mean, I think she gets killed by association.
You're gonna die, bitch! Run! Run!
Run, bitch, run!
Run, bitch, run! Like, you're just gonna get killed because
he loses his shit, and it's like, I know that he gets berserker rage.
That is a bad sign. If you were with a guy, and, like, a friend comes up and goes, hey, how's it going, mama, and kisses you on the cheek, and your boyfriend almost takes his goddamn head off, break up with that guy. Because that's a bad sign.
And she doesn't faze her at all. She's like, oh, okay.
And Professor X is like, what the hell? And everybody's like, Colossus is there too. And he's like, hey, what are you doing? It was okay.
And Professor X gets in his head and he's like, Logan, you have no chill. What the hell?
He's like, what's wrong with you? And Logan, of course, is wearing like the most 70s outfit. Because he's wearing like a bolo tie and like one of those like Southwestern type jackets. It has like four pockets.
He actually kind of looks like an oil tycoon.
He does, because
he looks like Duke Bonaventure.
Oz Bonaventure. Yeah, because he even puts out a white cowboy hat. Like
Oz Bonaventure made all his money in boiled denims.
and he's like, man, I thought I was over the rage, but I guess I'm never over the rage. And oh well, I'm just gonna take this soon to be dead woman with me. And
I think that's what he said.
Soon to be dead woman.
Oh, you're gonna die soon, there, right? Come on, Scott.
So like, of course, Kitty Pryde is just like, oh, I'm gonna take this mistletoe and I'm gonna put it over Colossus's head and I'm gonna kiss him on the cheek and I'm gonna call him sexy. But I'm only 13. Colossus is like 9,000.
He's not 9,000. I don't think he's that old.
I know he's not that old.
But she's 13.
She's 13, and he is obviously a grown man.
Mm-hmm.
And he, like, blushes when she kisses him, and that is gross.
Yeah.
Like, if she was, like, 17...
You'd be like, yeah.
I'd be like, all right, you're going to turn 18 soon, whatever. You just kissed him on the cheek. You are 13! Gross!
Yeah.
You should be kissing 13-year-old boys.
And Professor X is like...
Not 27-year-old
and I like the professor. Gross. I like the professor's just like, meh.
Professor's like, it's totally okay.
This is cool.
It's not okay.
Well, he's got like Nightcrawler in there. He's got Storm, and they're all, you know, stunning. Nightcrawler's weird as shit. So he's probably like, meh, could be worse. Meet your future wife.
Could you imagine all the fucking that goes on in that mansion? I mean, with all the young, unbridled hormones galloping around.
Yeah, how come we haven't thought about? Well, I think
they kind of do, but
you know, Professor X is like, let's check and see how everybody's doing. Oh God, oh God, everybody's fucking.
How does Professor X not like hear all of them like mentally thinking about fucking each other?
I don't know. He's very good at being a telepath. He's the world's strongest telepath.
Yeah, I know, but...
So he's pretty good at, like, just being like, all right,
blocking shit out?
I can make a small island, and then just do make it like it's very small. Make the world very small.
Very small. You focus on one thing.
Yeah.
Okay, so Storm shows up, and she's like, all right, Professor, it's time to go.
I like that actually you could see Colossus picking up Professor X's chair.
Yeah, he just like carries
because he's like, I'm so strong, I'll just carry you outside.
Yeah.
You know, because they're going, I don't know where they're going.
I know, they're going somewhere, and everybody leaves. Angel's off to fuck his girlfriend, who he hasn't seen in a long time.
Because he's in the Defenders, kind of, at this time, too.
And he's like, I haven't seen you. You might not see me until Easter. So, like, I guess he's
going to fuck. He's going to fuck for an entire, for 4 months.
Yes.
6 months.
He's taking a lot of Viagra.
He's kind of like, I got this raging heart, and I go, fly. He's like, I know. So Angel,
sleep, you're gonna go, fuck, eat, fuck, laundry, fuck. It's like he's fucking while doing all of those things.
We gotta find out what was going on in the past, like, 6 months for Warren here.
Yeah.
What if he was fucking those 6 months?
I'm sure. And so she's like, bye. She's all alone, and she has her Star of David on because she's Jewish, and she's like, oh, you know, this is like the first Hanukkah I've ever spent with all my parents. I should probably call them and wish them a happy Hanukkah.
Yeah.
But her parents don't answer because her parents hate her. I'm assuming.
Yeah.
Probably not. So then we, like, and then the phone rings, and it's fucking
Cyclops,
who nobody likes. That's probably why everybody left. They were like, he's gonna call. Nobody be here. Because
the phone just ringing, and the Professor X is like, Scott.
Don't no one answer.
Wait,
it.
No. Nobody answer. Don't want to. He's just going to be.
Nightcrawler shows up. He's like, don't touch that phone.
Because he's just going to be. You know, Wolverine's like.
Slicing the phone lines. They're like, finally, Logan. You've used your claws for good.
He's just sitting there, like, not answering. Because, you know, he's just going to call Wyatt about Gene.
Yeah, shut it. No one wants to hear. Scott.
Nobody wants to hear you talk.
Nope.
Anyway, so we show him. And for whatever reason, he's like.
He calls to be like, oh, it's weird that everybody left you alone, but I just want to call and say Merry Christmas. And he's like on a dock somewhere. And then he, like, walks up to a sailor, and he's like, hey, can I get work on this boat? But the sailor happens to be a girl. Ugh.
You're a girl!
Oh my god, you've got a vagina. Yeah.
Are you Jean Grey? I'm sad.
Yeah, your vagina reminds me of Jean, because Jean had a vagina! And he just cries.
Fuck you, Cyclops. Anyway, so basically,
I hate Cyclops.
Kitty decides to...
She's bored,
and it's funny because she decides to put on her costume.
I know.
You know? Like, and
you would,
like,
think that, like, a 13-year-old girl would just, like, watch TV.
Yeah! Yeah! Or do something, paint her nails.
Something, talk on the phone.
Read Tiger Beat. Yeah. It's the 80s. Listen to some David Cassidy records. Or
sure.
Loggins and Messina.
Yeah.
You know, listen to, you know, Rod Stewart as Captain Atom. It's great, Captain Atom album.
I know. Like, I don't know what she's... She's like, no, I'm going to go, like, turn on the Danger Room, even though I'm not supposed to do it unsupervised. And, like, do workouts. And complain about, like, why I have to work out because it's dumb. I shouldn't have to.
But she's going
to
be so fit. She's gonna be like, I'm going to be like a female Schwarzenegger. I'm like, yeah, sure.
Yeah, 13-year-old Schwarzenegger. And then she hears, like, an alarm.
Oh, our cat. She's very excited about something.
What is it, sweetheart?
Leela, what are you here? Guys, this is fascinating. You guys want to know what our cat's listening to?
I don't know what she's doing. She's just meowing and stuff.
Well.
Okay, whatever. Anyway, so, like, Kitty Pryde's like, whoa, what was that alarm?
And she goes upstairs and says it finds that it's like in apparently Storm's room or whatever. And Storm's like.
Has like a,
she has like plants and they're all dead.
Dead plants.
And there's a goo. And
it's the alien. He just
it's the alien. In. He's here.
He busted in.
And so literally. So basically. Okay, so basically we get like. Probably about.
A lot of
pages. We can't go through this because a lot of it's just her being like, "Oh, I gotta figure out."
It's a lot of her thinking to herself.
It's her thinking to herself
about how she has to get away from this monster.
She's gotta outsmart this alien
because apparently
this
it seems really smart and it can figure out what she's trying to do. So it's just all because
she's running through walls
and
like
just like running through the mansion.
And she's phasing through walls and it's just bursting through stuff. It's fucking up the mansion.
It
hardcore.
Really is. And so like,
there's nobody else there. Apparently, there's no other. I mean, I thought there was more people in this mansion.
I thought so, but I guess no one but her is there, which is weird. And so, like, it's kind of seeing, and she's trying to call, but she can't get to the phone because it keeps, like, fucking her up, and so she's running.
It kind of phases through her once, and it kind of really, like...
She can feel its claws even though she, like, phases out.
Which is kind of creepy.
She tricks it into going into the danger room. It still catches up with her. There's fighting. There's fire.
Yeah, it goes into the danger room, and she tries to, like, attack it with whatever...
Yeah, it doesn't work.
...things is, and it starts ripping up the floor.
Yeah, it's really fucking up the danger room, so... It does that.
And it starts setting off all, like, these alarms, and it starts attacking, and things go, like, these things, you know, she's not good enough, like, as a tactician...
Right.
...to, like, avoid all this shit, so she's gotta, like, try to get out, and it's... Yeah. You know, it's attacking her, and this alien is relentless.
Yeah. So she's just running and running, and then so finally she makes her way to, like, the hangar.
Hangar where they have the X-Men ship.
Where the Black Bird is, and so she's like, oh, okay, I'm gonna get on the ship and then take off, I guess. But then she has this idea where she's not gonna take off. She's gonna wait till it gets close enough and then burn it to death with the engine.
Because she figures for some reason... That it doesn't like fire?
Well, not many things do.
Not many things do.
That is a reasonable deduction for most things.
Most aliens don't like fire. I actually do remember in the Aliens arcade game, you have a flamethrower and you just burn the shit out of things. That's a sweet game, by the way.
It was I remember that game.
But do you know what I'm talking about?
Wait, well, you got the like thing and you go...
But it's not the first-person shooter.
Oh, no.
There was a side-scroller that they made that was based on the second movie where you're Ripley and you just fucking, like, walked around with a flamethrower and a fucking big-ass gun and just
shot things. I was talking about the first-person shooter.
I would love that. Man, that game was dope as hell. Mm-hmm. If it's available somewhere, I need it. I don't think it was ported anywhere, but that's basically, you know, what's kind of what happens here. And she's like, oh, I gotta figure out how to set the engine. And it's ironic because, you know, she's in the Blackbird. She's trying to remember how to start the Blackbird. Because in the very beginning, Professor X is like, he's like, we'll go over the initiation sequence because you need to know this. And she's right. And it just happens to be.
Well, that's like, thing. As I was reading that, I was like, is this, like, she's in the danger room and she doesn't realize it?
That's what I thought, too.
Because did Professor X do this? Because he knew this is what she was going to do, so he's making her, like, start up the Blackbird, because that's what we were at the beginning.
Yeah.
That's what I was thinking as I was reading this. So it gets close enough, and she nukes the fuck out of it with some engines.
Nukes the fuck out with some engines.
Like, really. And then, like, trashes the Blackbird. Because
basically, she didn't open the hangar.
Yeah.
So the Blackbird's just, like, crashing into shit.
Yeah, it just goes, like, right into the fucking thing, and it breaks. And then she gets out, and she's like, oh, it's so hot, I'm just gonna walk on this air.
Because she could do that, apparently.
Yeah, and then the alien comes to, like, claw her in the face.
Because it's still not dead.
And then all of a sudden we just cut to... We get her almost getting clawed in the face, and then we cut to...
Professor S coming home. It's still night.
Same night.
They left in the evening, and then apparently there was...
Coming home the same night.
...roadblocks and stuff because the alien killed people.
Oh, that's right.
So basically the town was like, hey, you know, it's happening around the mansion. You know, weird shit's happening, so yeah. Nobody's leaving.
Yeah.
So
Professor X goes home with... Who's this guy?
Oh, that's...
Is that Colossus? No.
Yeah, it's Colossus.
He looks small.
It's Peter. He does look small, actually.
That's why, like, I was like, that can't be Colossus. He looks tiny.
Like, did he shrink? Did he, stop having juice?
Yeah. So they're like, oh, something's wrong. And Professor X is like, all right, Colossus, go look. Storm, you just stand by this car.
Yeah, he makes you stand by
which,
the car.
Which, Storm's like...
Protect the car.
One of the strongest X-Men out there. And you're like, oh, stand by that car. Sending Colossus instead. And then she's just sitting there. And mind you, the last time we saw her, she was about to get her face clawed off by an alien. But she's just sitting in an armchair, like, with her hair in a towel.
Yeah, she just took a shower. And she's like, and for some reason, she yawns, but it's like it's written in a different lettering.
Yeah, it's like written yawn.
Yawn!
It's like, oh, hey, Peter, I'm so glad you're back. And then Professor X is like, hey, we left to go get your parents so you guys can have Hanukkah together.
Wait, so that was the whole thing along?
Yeah. He went to go get her parents.
But, wait.
That's why they left. They went to go get her parents so they could have Hanukkah.
But that was supposed to be a surprise.
Yeah.
Oh.
She didn't know that. That's why, I guess.
I didn't know. Was that mentioned before?
No. That's where you find out here.
But they made it so he was going to... take her... I thought they were going on some sort of trip.
Well, I think that's what they told her, but I think what they actually did is just go get her parents and bring them back.
Oh.
That's what I assume happened. Because all of a sudden her parents are there, and like he doesn't Professor X say something like...
Professor X is like,
How do you feel about this, or whatever? Or no, her parents walk in, and she's like, oh my god, it's you guys!
It's like, Dad, you grew a beard! And then, it's like, I'm so glad you could make it, your trip, both can make the trip, your presence has done wonders for Kitty's morale. I'm like, what, they just got there?
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, she's probably happy, and... She's like, oh.
But of course, like, everybody's having punch and stuff, and she's still... And this is when Storm finally walks up to her. Now, no one was home except for her. And now there's a punch bowl. So obviously people had to take the time to do these things.
To make punch, or maybe it was already in the freezer.
Oh, maybe.
Fridge, maybe they were like, maybe hey.
They were planning for it. But, like, then she finally, like, Storm is probably like, hey, so why are my plants dead? And she's like, so I kind of trashed the entire mansion.
Yeah, here's the thing.
And no one notices.
Here's the thing. I thought she, like, I mean, the mansion must be huge because is there a part, like, of the mansion? Like, didn't they, I mean, I felt like they went through, like, the entire place.
She did.
She went
to where the phone was, which was right by the front door. Remember? That's where she went back to that phone and the thing came through the door. But apparently it was fine later? I don't know.
I guess not.
Whatever. Nobody seemed to notice all the damage that she did to the mansion somehow.
Yeah.
And apparently it's still structurally sound and it's good enough that people could drink punch in it.
Horse shit.
Yeah. I guess what happened was as the evil alien was clawing towards its feet, it was already dying and it just like
crumbled to dust and it's
right before it clawed her in the face.
And basically it's like, this was a test of her abilities because she's Kitty Pryde and
oh, isn't it great?
Hoo ha, hoo ha. She passed.
Yay, Kitty Pryde.
Because Storm's like, what happened to my plants? And she's like, well, there's this alien. She's like, are you mad?
Yeah.
And she's like, what?
Yeah.
I guess I'm proud of you?
Storm's like, god damn it, all my plants are dead.
I had all these plants, I was trying to do shit. And my plants, and they're dead. You know, there's this, you know, Peter's over here drinking punch. Who knows where fucking Nightcrawler is?
Oh, I don't even know what happened to him.
Wolverine, yeah, where'd Wolverine go?
Wolverine went to go kill that woman.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah. He's going to go bury her in a ditch. With his terrible temper. She's going to be like, you know what? I don't like coffee. I like tea. And he's going to be like, tea! And then, like, slice her face off.
Slice.
Yeah, she's going to, like...
It's going to be like that
she's
scene...
She's going to have to go talk to the barista to, like, you know, ask for her order. And Wolverine's going to get jealous and, like, stab everybody in the Starbucks.
Oh, have a happy Christmas. Slice.
Run, bitch.
Run, bitch.
Run, bitch, run. Yeah.
I hope they're at a restaurant. The waiter's like, would you like some dessert, ma'am? And she's like, no. And he's like, oh, that's okay, because you're sweet enough. And then Wolverine just slices the guy's face off.
And hers.
He goes, and hers.
Yeah.
He goes full OJ, but in the restaurant.
Yeah. And then he's like, how can I wear these gloves? I have these claws. And then the jury just lets him off. It's fine.
If the gloves rip, you can't. You must acquit.
Yeah.
I hope that's the new FX
yeah.
thing.
Yeah.
About OJ.
Yeah.
Considering they show X-Men like all the fucking time.
Yeah.
They should just have
it's the only thing they show.
They should just have him play OJ.
Yeah.
I would see that.
Sure, who wouldn't?
Anyway. It's a good movie.
Yeah.
Anyways, that's it for that's it for X-Men number one on the Uncanny X-Men number 143 from March 1980. Would you read the next issue?
Nah. I mean, if somebody candidates me, sure. I'm not gonna look it out though. Let's search out for it.
Yeah. It is the return of Cyclops, as it says.
Oh.
Then probably not.
Mm.
He shows up and he's like, yeah, I was on a ship. I'm on a boat.
He's not going to come back. He's going to go have sex with the blonde lady he was surprised had a vagina.
You're on a
Maybe
boat?
Maybe Jean Grey's not actually dead. Maybe she was just like, he didn't understand vaginas and like, she's out.
Well, she's not dead. She's in a cocoon comics. In the ocean. I think that's why he's on the boat because he's going to like try to find her on a
cocoon in the ocean.
Oh, yeah.
She's trying to hide from him because she's like, he really didn't understand vaginas.
Yeah. That's basically what ends up happening. She becomes, you know.
I needed to go somewhere where I could be by myself and enjoy my vagina. Because God knows he doesn't know what to do with it.
Oh,
Cyclops is just like, but I can't see without my glasses.
Cyclops gets...
Poor Cyclops. He really gets...
Well, shit. I mean, Jesus Christ, I mean, he in the movies...
Oh, yeah.
He gets fucking shafted.
Yeah.
You know, yeah. He was in First Class? No. Did they make a... They allude to him in First Class?
I think they might have alluded to him, but...
I know Havoc was his brother.
Havoc was, but I don't think he was.
Huh. I mean, I think it alluded to him, yeah. Because I know, Wolverine was in there.
Yes, well, Wolverine is, you know...
Billion years old.
Stop it!
Our cat.
Oh my God, Tully, don't break those. I don't want to have to replace another blind. Please, for the love of Christ. We are never getting our deposit back because of you? This cat. Oh, he wants to eat because it's got, it's 19 minutes past 5, and therefore he is starving and has never had food before.
Well, let's feed our cat. Let's feed our cat and get done with the show here. I would probably read the next issue anyways.
I would not search it out, but if someone gave it to me, I'd probably read it.
I'll give it a shot.
Sure.
Great. Well, that's it for this episode. Thank you for listening, and have a great holiday.
Yeah.
Happy Christmas, and we will be back next week.
Yes.
We'll do one for New Year's. Maybe we'll figure something out for New Year's.
Yeah.
For a New Year's Eve episode. I know there's a Superman... issue of Superman. I don't know. Maybe I don't have it. I remember there being one, though, where him and Lois share some bubbly.
Okay. I don't think we have that
one. No, probably not.
Okay.
But that's it for this week's show. Thank you for listening.
Where
and
can people find you?
You can find me on Twitter at AngryHeroSean, SHAWN. You can also find me on my Instagram with the same name and my Tumblr, theangryhero.tumblr.com. And where can people find you?
I'm at Jen Stansfield on Twitter and Instagram. JenStansfield.tumblr.com, JenStansfield.wordpress.com, and again, Merry Christmas, Happy Solstice, Happy Hanukkah,
Kwanzaa,
Ramadan, whatever you celebrate.
It's all good. And
all good, man. Have a great holiday season.
And also, thank you to Sideshow Network for providing us with airspace. You can check them out, SideshowNetwork.tv. And they have a Twitter, of course, at Sideshow Network on Twitter. And but please go to iTunes, rate and review.
Yay!
Rate and review. Tell us if you have any thoughts on Cyclops or
Flaming Hobo. Do you also hate Cyclops?
Or Flaming Hobo Skin. You got plenty to choose from this episode.
Oh,
so,
always.
Anyways, happy holidays, and we'll see you next time.
Bye!